I'm Hillary.
And I'm Sandra. Coming up on the Quick and the Dirty podcast, we are going to talk to Ottawa sexologist Sue McGarvey. If you've lived in the city for any amount of time, you certainly know that name. And today we're going to talk about the sleep divorce.
So excited that you introduced me to Sue and that we could talk about this subject, because I know we just bought a king bed in our house and I was unraveling a bit about what that meant about my relationship. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
The Quick and the Dirty Podcast with Hillary Welch and Sandra Plagakis.
So Sandra's going to pretend that she's kind of shy about this, but she's really not. And we need to talk about the fact that our girl Sandra has a brand new fierce businesswoman project. She has launched her very own subscription box. Sandra, you got to tell us about the cherry.
Okay, first of all, any opportunity to talk about my box, I'm totally in. So I was waiting for the laugh on that one. Thank you. Hillary, I'm doing something that I never thought I would do, but I've dreamed of doing for probably 5 years, maybe 10 years. And that's basically starting and running my own business. And I started a subscription box called The Cherry for women who are fun, flirty, and a little dirty. Basically, women like us, Hillary, basically.
Yeah. So like women that pretend that they're not really, really dirty, they're just a little dirty.
You know what? It's people are like, oh, is this a sex box? No, it's not a sex box. I say it's a sexy box and it's a flirty box, but you're not going to find like giant 10-inch dildos in this box. I mean,
damn,
we might evolve to that. I don't know. Maybe a tiny butt plug here and there, but we're not throwing dildos in. It is not a sex toy box. It's nothing like that. It's more, you know, think lifestyle. We've all seen those lifestyle boxes with, you know, giftables like the makeup and the luxury items and the skincare. It's that.
It's but the in stuff every- that makes you feel sexy.
Yes. Some of it makes you feel sexy. Some of it makes you feel fun. There's definitely some fun items in there, but in every single box, in every single season, when it comes out, we are going to give you one dirty little secret, just a little secret, a little fun item that's a little like, hey, girl. Okay. If I could describe it, the item's a, hey, girl, that's what it is.
I love that. Oh, my gosh. So this is a quarterly subscription box. How does this work?
Yeah, it's every season. So, you know, summer, fall, winter, spring, it's a subscription, which means you sign up and then the box automatically comes to you every 3 months at the start of the season. So easy peasy. It's called Cherry Summer 2021 is the name of the summer box. It's our first one. And I'm so excited about doing it because it's been a year in the making. I don't want to sound like an asshole when I say this, but I have shed more tears over the mechanics of this box than I have over my own divorce this year.
Okay.
And that's a shitty thing to say, but I found the box to be far more frustrating.
So I've got to know, and I know you can't share the secret sassy item because I have a feeling that one's a secret.
It's a little secret. It's just a little dirty item. Again, it's not a 10-inch dildo, everybody. Relax.
But the joy of it is it comes in a box that looks totally innocuous when it arrives at your door.
Oh, yeah. It's just a brown box with a little sticker on it and no one, you know. But here's the thing. It dawned on me that, you know, if you get this box, like, you got to understand the situation. Like, don't open it around your five-year-old. You know, it's going to get weird.
Or do open.
I mean, whatever. But it is a box predominantly for women. I say it's a box for men, too, because I don't want to exclude anybody from a fabulous experience. You know what I mean? If you like makeup and you're a dude, this is great. Skincare, candles, sassy items. Great. Why not?
Oh, amazing. So if somebody wants to sign up and buy one of these boxes, where do they do it?
Go to the website. We're on socials first. Let me give you that. Instagram and Facebook, go to @thecherrybox. But I want to say this. The spelling of the cherry is not a typical spelling. It's spelled C-H-E-R-R-I-E. And the website is thecherry, cherrie.com.
So like the French, it's very fancy.
It's kind of. I mean, the truth, Hillary, is that buying the domain name The Cherry with a Y cost a fortune because it's such a hot word. So I had to find a new spelling.
Sandra got creative.
I got cheap and creative, okay, people? But honestly, I love the logo. I love it. I've got a great team of people who are helping me. I'm a new entrepreneur. I'm going to make mistakes. And there's a huge learning curve. And it's, you know, when you put something out, you really just want it to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. And I have to accept the fact that it's, I'm going to learn, I'm going to grow, and
well,
I'm going to make these.
The product is beautiful, but it's all the other like business admin and all that stuff that kind of gets bogged down in. But you'll get there. That's fine.
It's fine. And you know, I have to say the my favorite part is that earlier this week, I made the announcement on social media that I'd started this subscription box. How many of my fierce female friends have been sharing it on their socials and sending me personal notes, and the support that I got just from, you know, 15 of these women that I know, including you, it honestly, that was the most probably emotional part of this journey. It was so amazing. And thank you for the nice note too, Hillary.
We're really following in your example though, because what you're doing with this box is, at this moment, is kind of Ottawa centric, but not like it's available all over Canada, but like you're focusing on helping out Ottawa businesses too. Like you're supporting small businesses and other entrepreneurs, and you're just like leading the way in that fierce female, like, let's just give it for each other kind of vibe.
Yeah. You know, I'm all about keeping our money friggin' north of the border, because how many of us are buying those subscription boxes that are American? And then once you pay the exchange rate, once you pay those exorbitant shipping fees, once you pay all that shit, this box ends up costing you a goddamn fortune and you're not really saving any money. Yes, it costs more to buy Canadian. Yes, it does. But at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do. If you're going to spend $150 on an American box, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
And take the hit on the dollar, why aren't you just putting your money in Canada? It doesn't make sense to me. So we're trying to do the right thing here. And of course, be fabulous at the same time.
And what I love about your box is like you're straight up about what's in it. I find some of the other subscription services, which will not be named, but they make the box look really great, but they're all add-on items. Like I find that weird.
Yeah, no, we list everything except the one dirty little surprise.
Just so that you can share it on more family-friendly sites.
Exactly. All I'm just going to say is this, it's a sticky surprise. And that's it. That's the only hint you all are getting.
I don't even want to know. Let it be a surprise. Oh, so excited. I'm so excited for this podcast, too. We're going to turn our attention to Sue McGarvey. This is going to be amazing. Have you ever heard of a sleep divorce?
Sue, can I just say something? You and I met at an event many, many years ago. And I've only seen you a few times, yet I've certainly watched you from afar and listened to you often on the radio. Can I just say that when I met you, I was legit starstruck. Because I really admire the fact that you have been, in many ways, a trailblazer for sex and talking about it openly at a time where people just kind of weren't having those conversations. So thank you so much for being here today. I just love you.
Oh, well, thanks, Sandra. Yeah, you're pretty awesome, too. And I, you know, I feel like this, you know, elder statesman of sex. So it's really funny to, you know, to hear that. And it's usually when I go places and somebody sees my credit card or they're like, Stu, oh my God, you taught me everything I needed to know. But it's great. It's a really fun stage to be at where I get to, I don't really care what anybody else thinks. I get to talk about sex all the time. What a cool gig. So,
no kidding.
Yeah.
So, Sue, one of the main reasons we wanted to talk to you today is that it comes in and out of the news cycle every once in a while, the idea of a sleep divorce and how some couples are saying that is exactly what saved their marriage. The idea that they sleep in separate bedrooms, they come together when they want, but they aren't obligated to share that space to sleep. So we would be interested in hearing your thoughts on it. Sandra and I both have our own opinions and experiences on this. So we just want to have like an open discussion. What do you think about the sleep divorce?
Well, it's interesting you say that. You know, certainly my previous partner and I, for a variety of reasons, mainly because we have different sleep cycles, I turn into a pumpkin by 11 and I'm in bed most days by 10:15 and up at dawn. And he stayed up till 2:00 in the morning and you just couldn't make that work. So, you know, at least half the week I was in a different room. And he claims that was one of the reasons the relationship ended. I think there are many, many, many reasons why that happened. On the other hand, I think that for a lot of people I see professionally, they sleep in different rooms because the partner snores or and they just can't sleep. And I think for a lot of women at menopause at, you know, where they're, you know, up at 4 o'clock in the morning because their progesterone levels are low and you can't get back to sleep or they're overheated and night sweats and they're, you know, going through sheets and sheets and sheets and it's just easier, then it really works. It allows them to be rested so they're not doing the what I call the seven dwarfs of menopause, right? Itchy, bitchy, sleepy, scratchy, exhausted, and able to function in a relationship. So I think there are pros and cons. There is, you know, the one thing I know about being a sex therapist is there is no one-size-fits-all. The minute I start thinking that, I'm dead in the water. So if I say, no, you have to sleep together, like, no. You have to manage that. And if you choose to be with someone, I tell people you choose every day to be with your partner. Like you choose every day, this is I'm going to be with you. And if you choose every night whether to be with them or not, I don't think it impacts a healthy sex life. I think if you are really being mindful of having sex and being intimate, it's not as easy as rolling over and getting an erection in your back, going, all right, we're going to use this. Or, you know, just finding your partner, you know, if you're in a same-sex relationship, just, you know, being able to manage that instantly. You have to be mindful of it. And I think there's some good things about that.
Hillary, do you want to talk about your situation in the king-size bed that's coming your way?
Well, I would have to agree, first of all, with Sue, because I think one of the reasons relationships break down, if not the only reason relationships break down, is a lack of communication. No matter what that's about, it's because something didn't get talked about or didn't get dealt with. And I think that that's one of the scariest things about the whole sleep divorce is that if you're not in the same room, if you're not spending time together and things are awkward, you can just avoid the situation. And I think like that really is what ends up killing relationships. But here's what's going on in my world. So I moved in with my partner just over a year ago, and I've been working from home, and we have a queen-size bed, which was never really an issue because for a really long time, we've been together about 5 years. We had like a weekend relationship. I lived in a different city, and we would see each other on weekends. So, you make it work for 2 days. But we've both gotten really used to sleeping alone and now realize that between his shoulders and my hips, there's not a lot of space in a queen-size bed.
Yep.
And we just can't do it anymore. I'm up early. I wake him up. It's just not working. So we're bringing in a king. But Sandra says that a king-size bed was the beginning of the end for her relationship. Yeah. So Sandra, I have to ask you, why do you say that?
Because it literally created a space in our relationship, you know, figuratively, emotionally, whatever. When you start living in a world where you stop touching, I just felt that was incredibly detrimental. You know, when you're stuck together in a king queen size bed, the touching happens. You know, there's a little cuddling, there's a soft caress, there's whatever. But in a king size bed, it was like you go to your corner, I go to my corner, never the two shall meet. Our feet stopped touching, like all of it stopped happening. And whereas I liked it at the beginning because I had my space to myself. There was a point where I noticed, I'm like, wow, you never roll over to touch me anymore. Like ever, 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 ever completely stopped. It was almost an excuse to get the fuck away from me. You know what I mean? And I don't know how much of what I'm saying is true, but this is really what I felt, that it was very detrimental. And the more space you create between you and your partner, it's like the other person just takes it. Or assume maybe that he just wanted to get the fuck away from me, which I also understand.
Well, it's like if anything with sex, right? If whatever's going on in the relationship is, you know, sex is just amplified with sex, right? And it's that expression that if your relationship is great, sex is just a part of it. If your relationship is not great, the lack of sex amplifies and it becomes a big thing. And I would say that synergistic, but I think that there's a lot of things that would have gone on in your relationship in terms of communication or not being safe for each of you to talk about something before it you know, and the king size bed in terms of sleep was a piece where that just, as I said, it just illustrated what was not going on.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah.
I think if people are well rested, man, it is so much easier. There was just an article and I posted it in my date night group called the Ducklings. I posted it in their group talking about, you know, if you have enough sleep, you get sex, or if you have sex, it increases, you get an extra hour of sleep because you've been laid. So it's that piece of you know, amplifying around sex and relationships that you really want to make sure you're well rested. Or I want to choke everybody. Some people get hangry. I'm about sleep. If I'm sleep deprived, that's the only time I'm really grumpy. And, you know, so it depends on what that looks like. And if you want to wake me up and you poke me or you're tossing and turning, I want to kill you. I want to sleep. And then I'm going to be far more interested in wanting to touch you. Yeah.
I think, like, sex timing is a huge issue in people's relationships. Mm-hmm. Because, like, so I'm living with a middle-aged guy. And I am definitely, like, an evening, nighttime sex person. And he is like a, well, if I wake up with this erection, I don't want to waste it kind of sex mm-hmm. person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like a do not touch me on the rare occasion I get to sleep in the morning. Like, do not come near me. And I feel like that timing is really difficult for a lot of couples.
It is, and it changes, right? The one thing I hear from people, I get a lot of my clients from physicians, right? The doctors will say sex in the doctor's office. I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to deal with this. So that piece of being able to fix it, and for most men, their testosterone is highest in the morning. And it changes. So, at 25, no problem, morning, noon, and night, and preferably all three. By the time they're middle-aged, it is, the erections can be hit or miss by late afternoon and evening because their testosterone dips so highly. So you want to take advantage, or you want to make sure you've got some kind of boner pill, you know, Viagra, Levitra, Cialis, Comagra, whatever, to manage that. Because if you're not, it's not going to happen. And there's a lot of men that are avoidant now. You'll see them. They'll be avoidant about sex because they're not sure they can maintain their erection. Or what happens is their erections start to diminish, so they start coming faster because their body wants to ejaculate. So they start coming more quickly. And it's just like, really? So all of a sudden, what used to work effortlessly does not. Or women get drier and all of a sudden we need the coconut oil beside the bed, or people have babies in the bed, or they have breast cancer, or they, you know, like, there's so many things that happen. And I think if you amplify that with a lack of sleep, and anybody who's perimenopausal or menopausal certainly understands night sweat.
Oh my God.
And goes, oh my God.
Oh my God, I'm triggered.
Run. Yeah. Yes, yes, don't watch.
You're personally feeling
like you're assaulting me with that comment. I'm just like, I run hot, I run cold. I don't, like, I wake up in the morning, I go to bed at night wearing like flannel. I wake up in the morning naked going, what in the fuck just happened to me in my sleep?
Yeah.
So I totally get that. And my God, as we get older and our bodies start to change, you talk about dryness, you talk about erections and all of those things. And yet, you know what? I can see how men don't want to talk about maybe not being as virile as they used to be, because I get that it's a sensitive subject. I mean, for women, it's like we own the fact that we're drying up, you know? I don't know why there's no shame for a woman to talk about our parts and to talk about our bodies, but there's way more shame for a guy.
Because yeah. We worked for it. And now that we have it, we're not giving it
up. That's
a
good point. But like, why are guys, why can't a guy just say, yeah, well, you know, I ain't what I used to be down there. I'm getting older. And this is just the way it goes. But guys will never have that. Why can't guys just own it?
Well, and some of them can. And some of them are, you know, like, I'll get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning on my voicemail. My God, Sue, it didn't work. Call the Marines. I want your first available appointment. Whatever it costs, fix this. Or I'll get them, you know, 4 years after they've been, you know, having issues, dragged in by their partner, by their ear, finally saying, do something. You know, so it depends on the guy. And I think, again, we're in a situation where people need a safe place to be able to have that dialogue. And if the relationship is mediocre at best, you know, one of the first questions I ask couples is, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, let's take sex out of the equation, what's your relationship like? And if I get a 5, their feet are not touching in bed. I don't care what size of bed they have. They're just not feeling close. They're not feeling safe. They're not feeling connected. You know, and I tell couples that one of the hardest things to do is to keep things hot, spicy, connected 5, 10, 20 years into a marriage. And if you're not working at it really hard, it's really not about any other thing. It's about, are you scheduling time for sex? Are you touching? Are you creating intimacy? Are you having dialogue? Do you need a tune-up? And the answer, usually, universally, if you've not spent time on it, is yes. You may be having it, you know, once every 2 weeks and it's ho-hum. And it doesn't make you, it feels like work, you know, cooking, cleaning, laundry, childcare, trying not to stick to the floor. I got to serve as my partner. Uh-huh. Doesn't become fun, right? And sex is adult play.
So honestly, every 2 weeks sounds good to me. That sounds like, unusually often.
No, well, it says for women as a rule, right? They either want it. The universal truth, in my opinion, is that women fall into one of four categories, right? 25% don't like sex at all for a variety of reasons. 25% could take it or leave it, usually once or twice a month around the time they're ovulating or before their period, or if they're postmenopausal, you know, kind of, gotta have some wine and chocolate in the mix. And 25% like it what I would consider a normal amount, 1, 2, 3 times a week. And 25%, I like most men, would like it every day. So 50% of women want it, you know, twice a month or less. And the guys are climbing the wall.
Here's what I think. There is this, like, misconception that women want sex less than men. And that is, like, in my experience, 100% not the case.
That is true.
And the only reason, like, I could live with less sex in my life, but the only reason I refuse to is because I hate the pressure of, we're only going to do it once every 2 weeks, and I got to be ready to come. Because, like, sometimes you're not in the right headspace, and if you're only having it infrequently, then it puts this weird pressure on it. So if you're like, oh, well, we'll play more often, and if one day it's you and one day it's me, and, like, there's no rules, it, like, just completely releases that pressure.
No. Well, what I say to couples is once a week is survival, right? Unless you're both on the same page, you want to do it, you know, Christmas and holidays. But most people, if you want to create that kind of intimacy and you're not, you know, we're best friends, but no sex, please, we're married, you need to create at least some time to be intimate. And it doesn't have to be intercourse. It doesn't have to be pounding away. It can be sensual touch. It can be mutual masturbation. It can be a variety of things, but you better have time for it. Otherwise, you feel like friends that co-parent or roommate. It happens,
I know.
Thing that keeps you connected.
Sometimes, I've often said that, last week's episode, I openly talked about the fact that I'm in the middle of getting a divorce right now, and I'm newly kind of single and navigating all of this. But yeah, at one point in the marriage, I actually said, it feels like we're the CEOs, the co-CEOs of a corporation, and we are keeping our house, you know, like we're basically in business together. We're in the business of raising our children. We're in the business of running our home, balancing the books. Like, it felt like we were the CEOs of a company.
Okay, Sandra, yeah. I have to stop you there because it was like you were the CEO and he was the groundskeeper.
Will you please?
Let's be honest.
Listen, I don't want to go there, Hillary, please. Why you got to be such a bee? No comment.
Because you
no
love
comment
me.
On that subject. But you know what I mean, Sue, is that you just feel like you're in business together and you forget somewhere along the way that you used to be boyfriend and girlfriend or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So,
and you need to go back to what worked at the beginning. I have a couple who they kept talking about, you know, when they were dating and they had this old truck that you picked them up. There was apparently a spring in the truck bed that would hit her and, you know, poke her. But they would laugh about this truck. And I said, you know, too bad you don't have the truck. And he says, actually, my dad has it. It's on the farm and it still runs. I said, go get the truck. I said, go get the truck to prep for a date. I said, you got to go make out in the truck. I said, you need to create the thing that started you in the first place. I said, you got to get back to ground zero. And sometimes that means a smaller bed, if you're talking about that. Sometimes that means doing the things that where you first fell in love with each other. Otherwise, you're, you know, again, you drift away and people change. It's the universal truth, right? We're going to change. So you better work on finding some commonalities. And if not, and if you've been unhappy for longer than 6 months to a year, you know, sometimes it's time to call it. Sometimes relationships run their course. And it feels, it sucks. You know, I've been through a divorce. I certainly know how it feels like. And it's way better on the other side, Sandra. But yeah, it's, you know, it's about that process of understanding where you are and why. And it, I think it's more than that. And I, as I said, my opinion about beds are, if it works for you and you can still find time to be intimate, but if you're going to be in separate rooms, you better make even more of an effort, right? Most people plan their holidays more than they plan their sex life. And I spend, you know, a lot of my days talking to people about date nights and where are you doing this and how are you getting sex and where's your sex cupboard and do you have toys and all of that. And if you're not mindful of that, yeah, it starts to, it's hard. It's really hard to stay connected, you know, with so many other pressures. You better be spending the time and energy on it.
So getting back to the sleep divorce and this idea that I've seen, I think that may be the key, that when people choose to live in separate bedrooms, that you do kind of have to put the effort in, and then the other person doesn't feel like, oh, well, you got an erection and you rolled over and mm-hmm. like that's all the effort you have for me. Do you think that that's what makes these situations successful?
Well, yeah, there's a bit of that where it's, you know, in out repeat if necessary, or if that's all you get. Audrey Hepburn said men should live close and visit often. And, you know, it's this idea that, you know, that it's sometimes the hottest sex are people who live, I would say the best thing in my previous relationship would be duplexes upstairs, downstairs, or side by side, where you could have your own space if you can spend the time seeing the best of somebody. You know, every relationship is different. You know, the one I'm in now, I don't want to spend a night away from him. So, you know, it's very different in terms of what that looks like. And there isn't one size fits all. So when you're at that stage, it's knowing I want this relationship, but it doesn't mean that if you're in separate rooms, and for a lot of people they are because they've got health concerns. There's a lot of people with sleep apnea. There's lots of people who can't. They like legitimately can't do it, you know, and Hillary just, you know, made a good point about different, you're not getting enough sleep and up in the middle of the night and you need to function, right? It lowers your stress if you get sleep, and we sleep best by ourselves. So if you can say, you know, like I always used to have sex on Monday night, around Monday night football, right? I like football. We'd always have sex at halftime. It was, everybody knew not to call me. I didn't take clients on Monday night. And it was, I knew that we were doing something intimate. And by 6 o'clock on Monday, I was starting to be aroused because it's conditioned response. And so I would tell people, like, book it in your calendar. Anything important in my life, I schedule. Start thinking about how you're going to do this. And again, it can be a massage, it can be a shower together. It doesn't have to be sex. It can be just lighting a candle and being together. But if you don't make it mindful, stuff gets in the way and it starts to separate that.
Yeah,
and whether
that's so true.
In bed or not. Yeah.
Sue, I have to say that I've been sleeping alone since last summer. And originally I thought it was really strange to have that space to myself because I hadn't slept alone in 26 years, 27 years. So it was just very bizarre. And then I will never go back. I'm like, I feel bad if I'm ever in a new relationship. I don't ever want to sleep with anybody ever again. It's so good. Mm-hmm. So I get it. Once you are autonomous, sleeping autonomously, it's hard to go back to having people who like twitch in their sleep, snore in their sleep, fart in their sleep. Fuck that. I love it. It's great. But mm-hmm. I do worry mm-hmm. that if I'm in a future relationship, I do worry that I'm going to miss out on a lot of really beautiful, intimate moments with my partner that, if memory served, once happened in my bed. So it's a hard decision to make.
Yeah. Although I have a lot of people, women like sexual adventure. And a lot of women are like, I want to have sex outside of the bedroom. And if you, again, if you are mindful of it, I don't care. Like it doesn't matter. Like if you're saying I'm going to have sex on the kitchen floor while the cookies are baking, or you know, I'm doing fun things. I'm bending you over the couch because this is what really works for us. Great. It doesn't mean that you can't work on that. You know, certainly there's a lot of cultures where sleep is sleep. And for anybody, you talk to any sleep physician, they're like, I only want you to sleep in your bed. I want you to do everything else, but you read and work and sex in different spaces. Because it allows for you to get, it allows for you to get more time. Like when you go to bed, if you're conditioned just sleep, because if you have insomnia and you're not sleeping well, you need quiet and dark. And if you've got a partner who wants the radio on or wants to fall asleep with the TV on, you're just not going to get the REM sleep for you to make those magic leaps in your head to get all the other shit that you got to do in your life done. So don't beat yourself up about it. Just say, this is the piece I need. I want to find a space that works for us, and we want to negotiate that, what works for us. And not to do again, there's no one size fits all. And I think it's great if you can have a magical, like I know a couple who sleep very different, like their rooms are really small and side by side, but they have a sex room where they go in and have sex. And they have like a round bed and they have all the, you know, the swing and the hooks and all that stuff. But because they sleep differently, they sleep in kind of single beds in different spots. I like it. If it works for them, great.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with the idea of having a sex bed now. That is brilliant.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, sex bed or whatever it is. I think it's, you know, if I had space, I have a sex closet, but I would love a sex room. Right?
Hillary, is your king size bed going to be the sex bed?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we will have a guest room, but we also have children, so whatever. But I also love the idea of a sex bed because it means that you can have a sex bed and then sleep on clean sheets because there's nothing worse than like a romp and you're like, well, who gets the wet spot? Like nobody wants it.
Yep. Puppy pads. I'm all about puppy pads.
Oh my God.
Seriously.
Are you serious?
Dollar store puppy pads. Puppy pads. Go to the dollar store. They have them for $3. You get a big whack of them. That's what you use, puppy pads. They're
I have
fantastic.
Never heard that about. Before. Brilliant.
You've never heard that before?
Never.
Puppy pads. I swear by them.
Sue, I was married for 20 some years. Of course, who the hell was getting laid in my marriage? Nobody. Nobody was getting laid.
It's also called towels. They work really well.
No, you got to wash them. These are seriously, you get a package of 40 for like $4 and you throw them out and they're waterproof. And they're
I know,
brilliant.
But it's like a sex diaper. I can't.
It's not. It's a puppy pad. You got to make sure nobody thinks you're getting a dog. But it's the, you watch $6 Emma and you watch women lined up with the packages of puppy pads. You watch.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
And really happy looking. Yeah, real happy.
Hillary, now I know what to get you for Christmas.
Oh God. Okay, getting back to the sleep divorce because I'm blushing. One of the cool things that I have read about the whole situation is that just because you have separate rooms doesn't mean you necessarily have to sleep in them all the time. So they have like what they call sleepovers, where it's like, is it your place or mine? Kind of like you're back in college and you kind of switch between the two. Or even like, and this is something that's never happened in my world, but I feel like it would be really nice if you had separate bedtimes. It would be like to tuck each other in and have a cuddle, but then go your separate ways.
Yep. I think anything that's intimate, because, you know, when you say the word sex, you know, certainly for guys, I think, you know, it's not necessarily always about sex, right? Sometimes you say romance and intimacy, and they think sex, but not always. They want the touch, they want the cuddles, they want the connection, and it's great. I think the idea of being tucked in is wonderful. And you need to find, you know, it's about compromise. I was talking to somebody over the weekend and they said that, you know, when he comes to her place, she wants quiet and dark. And he falls asleep with the TV on. So at her house, it's her rules. At his house, it's his rules. And they know they're never going to live together because they've both been married before. And it works for them. They just, you know, they have this time and they think they have this great relationship, but they're not living together. They're not dealing with that. And for a lot of people, that's okay. And to give them permission, because we live in a culture where they think if you're not sleeping together, oh my God, your relationship's ending. I don't think that at all. I think that you need to find what works for you. And as I said, I function so much better when I get sleep and I'm, you know, kinder and more productive and all of the things that I am. If I'm not sleeping, I don't care which bed it is. Just get out of my way. I want to sleep. And I certainly spend a bunch of time thinking about, you know, what kind of hot sex I can have. And yes, it's nice to do it in the bedroom, but sometimes it's nice to not do it in the bedroom. And, you know, they think that men want sexual adventure, but not anywhere close to what women want. Women want it. You know, they want rose petals. They want it in hotel sheets. They want it rolling around the surf from here to eternity. They want, you know, they want it in, you know, it's, you know, top of buildings or in an elevator. They want that stuff because it's exciting to them. And if it's the same old, and guys are rolling over going, wanna? You know, it's the Irish foreplay. You know, brace yourself, Bridget. You know, that's the thing, right?
But you know, I get what you're saying, Sue, and all of those things are true. But you know, women also want to really be desired. And if I was going to like plan a sleepover with somebody I was seeing or even my significant other, and they were like, "Yeah, not tonight," my feelings would legit get hurt. Like I would really be hurt if somebody didn't want to have the honor of my presence in their bed.
Well, I think you have to negotiate that, right? If somebody's saying I've got sleep apnea or I've got night sweats and I really don't want to wake you up, or if you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning and can't get back to sleep, you know, you're going to go to the living room and, you know, work on your computer for a little while until you get rid of the hamster wheel in your head. You know, that's okay. And sometimes that happens, right? If my head's busy, I want to get up, I want to work on my phone, I want to do my to-do list, and then I can go back to sleep. Or if I've had a bad dream, I want to get up, read my phone, read some trashy novel that's going to change the tape in my head. I don't want to disturb you because you need sleep too. And I don't want to deal with grumpy partner the next day. And if you have to negotiate to say that sometimes I'm using my words and it's not, I need you not to read into this. I need you not to take this personally. And this is not about drama. This is not a sign that there's a problem in our relationship. This is really what it is, and not to read too much into it. Anyway,
I think that's hard, though, to not feel that sense of rejection. Because I feel like it's human nature that when someone chooses something over you, even though there are perfectly good reasons, we all internalize it because we're all insecure as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is hard. And it's, you know, being a grown up and using your words is, you know, is difficult. It's about saying, this is what I need. And I tell people, I'm in the needs business. It's about figuring out what do you need and how do you communicate that. And you can say, I need this kind of space. And are you okay with this? And can we find other ways? I'm going to come into your bed every morning at 6 o'clock with my cold feet and snuggle up against you. And we are going to have time every morning to be together. But come 11 o'clock when you're still, you know, watching, you know, I don't know, all kinds of late night television, I need to sleep. I'm going to my own room so that I can actually get the, you know, the first 5 hours of solid sleep. And I am going to be the happy partner you want the next day. I think if you negotiate that, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a liaison. I'm going to meet you at the couch at 3 o'clock. Take your Viagra, your Cialis, and I will make sure I've got the lube in. And we are going to have a rendezvous on the couch. Bring the puppy pads so you don't get it all over the, you know, Italian leather couch.
We're Scotch
puppy pads, man. They're so versatile.
Yeah, we're going to have a room in the middle of the day. And it doesn't mean that we're not intimate, and it means that we can do that. So those kinds of negotiations in a relationship, I think, are brilliant.
You've been talking about sex for a few decades now, yes?
Yeah, just north of 25 years. Yeah.
25 years. Do you ever get tired? People telling you their goddamn sex problems? I mean, it's just like, it must be, it's timeless. All of these problems. It never goes away. Why can't we fucking figure
away.
Why can't we figure our shit out, Sue?
Yeah, well, you know what? I love talking about sex. I still think I have the best job in the entire universe. I get paid to talk about sex, and it's a cool gig, and I love it. And you're right, it's timeless. And, you know, there are times where I have the same conversation over and over again, but most of the time, and again, there's no one-size-fits-all. There's enough nuance and enough things to keep it fresh and interesting. So it's a great gig. I have the best job in the world.
I agree. By the way, Sue, you have a Facebook group, a Ducklings Facebook group?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. I don't know how, but somebody has, I don't know when and I don't know how, but I'm part of your Ducklings group. And I don't, I never joined it. I just, all of a sudden, one day I was part of your sex group. I'm sorry. I don't know if I don't know if you call it a sex group, but it's just like it's the coolest little group of like really open sexual people who just talk about great sexual things and they share funny memes. And I'm like, I don't know how I got into your goddamn club, but I'm in it, Sue. I'm in it.
You're in it. Well, I'm glad. I like you better already, Sandra. Yeah. You're Ducklings. No, the Ducklings are this great group. It started 7 years ago when I was doing workshops on how to keep it hot and love languages and tantric sex and what's new with toys. And it was 50 Shades of Grey at that time, top of the New York Times bestselling list. And I was doing these workshops with these half couples, half singles. And we brought in one of the top dominatrixes in the country to do a talk. And she said, what a great group. Why don't you come see my dungeon? And I went, all right, everybody, there's a field trip next week. We're going to go to the dungeon. And we went and toured the dungeon, and she was fabulous. And then we all went for beer afterwards. And everybody was like, this is the best date night ever. What are we doing next week? And I'm like, I don't know, but I know where the brothel is. I bet you they'll give us a tour. She called it Beer, Bowling, and Brothel because it was right beside the bowling lane. And and people are like, can I bring my friends? And I'm like, sure. And then we put 200 people through that brothel, and it exploded. Everybody wanted a date night that wasn't dinner and a movie. So we had half couples, half singles, pretty much evenly split male and female. And it was just an open, happy, fun. We only had three rules. No drama, no mean people. We kicked out all the mean girls. You're talking. I didn't want to deal with mean. Kindness matters. We had no sexual aggression. And if we got, you know, those three and everybody else, and you get rid of the mean people, you get rid of the dumb asses, you're left with some people of exceptional character. Now it's become a community. People help each other. And it's just this fun group of people who just don't want to turn into their parents. We do all kinds of crazy activities. We have an online dating group. It's just fun. It's fun. So, the Facebook group is one of a bunch of things. We have the wearetheducklings.com site. We have Duckling Dating. It's now in four cities. We got like 4,000, 5,000 people in Florida. You know, people in Montreal and Toronto. Yeah, it's great.
Well, congratulations. How did you come up with the name The Ducklings?
So I, at the very first event, I kept saying, okay, because we're going up in this elevator to this penthouse where this dominatrix is, right? And it's like behind the red velvet rope. And I kept going, okay, everybody, don't get lost. Gather around. Look. And somebody said, they're like my ducklings. They were following me down the hall. And it stuck. And then somebody got a duckling tramp stamp tattoo on the small of their back. And I could never change the name. So we are the ducklings. It became this thing. And I can't tell you how many plastic ducks I own because everybody thinks it's hilarious. And they give me little ducks. So, yeah, I know it's good.
I have to say, when I first heard the name, I immediately assumed that it was fucklings. And then it was auto-corrected to ducklings.
That's adorable. No, it's really, I tell everybody we're not we're a sex-positive group. And, yes, we want to be sexy and flirty, but... I mean, if you've ever been to I speak at some of the swing conventions, we are so not that, because those guys are way out there. We are in the middle, so see, we're not your parents' bridge club, but we are not the swing club. We are in the middle. We're happy and sexy and fun and safe.
And funny. I find you funny too.
Happy.
Yes, I find all of those things. I get notifications and I still to this day go, how the fuck did I get in this group? But okay, I'm happy to be part of it now. It's great.
Oh, yeah, because you now have to be approved. And, you would have, of course, been approved, Sandra. But people, we take safety really seriously. So the minute you try and do, you get guys, because everybody gets those unsolicited, hey, babe, on, messages on Facebook. And you're just like, delete. Like, none of that happens. So it's a fun place to talk about sex-positive things without feeling creeped at all. So that's always a good place. Yeah.
That's great. And it looks to me like you have involved a lot of couples. I don't know how many singles you have, but I love that there's all these couples and that's good to know for future.
We're doing a dating event coming up. We're just talking about it. We got a world class comedian who's gonna do the original dating game. You'd be great as the Bachelorette, Sandra.
I'm not ready to be a Bachelorette, Sue. I don't know about that.
But as I said, it's a funny thing, and we've got sort of three funny bachelors. You know, just ask questions, and then we're doing breakout rooms on, you know, what is the worst date you've ever been on? And, you know, if you were dressed up like a superhero, which one would you want? You know, just what a funny stories where people can be in moderated breakout rooms because we're trying to do virtual dating.
I'd love to come out to one event, and I would certainly love to watch it. But I don't think the boys could handle me as the Bachelorette right now.
So a lot of this is virtual. You can do it anywhere because we're in a pandemic, and I have to be locked down. And you could be in a breakout room with a fake name and no picture. Just be the fly on the wall as you get more comfortable with being, you know, part of this whole dating thing, right? Because it's people who, you know, it's learning those new skills and saying, okay, I want to dip a toe, and how do I do that? And this is the process.
And then next thing you know, we're buying a king size bed and avoiding each other. Yeah, I know how this goes, Sue.
Right. Okay. Well, we're hoping to be a little more positive than that, but yeah,
I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. Sue, I loved having this conversation with you. I love that one of my favorite people, Hillary, got to meet one of the women that I admire most. And I love that we had this conversation today. And Sue, I am excited that I'm one of your ducklings. I'll follow you anywhere, anytime.
This episode is over, but the conversation doesn't have to be. Follow Hillary and Sandra on social. Instagram at Hillary on Air, at SandraKiss1053. Twitter at Hillary Welch, at SandraKiss1053. And on Facebook at Quick and Dirty Podcast. Got a question? Email Hillary and Sandra, thequickandthedirty@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can download the podcast each week to your mobile device to listen offline. Find The Quick and the Dirty on frequencypodcastnetwork.com, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcasts.